Okay, so we were in the middle of discussing the issue of bittul on chametz yadua. We basically analyzed the issue from the perspective of the two general approaches, and then we looked at the evidence in the Gemara. Just a quick summary. We basically pointed out that regarding the issue of bittul on chametz yadua, right, the ability for bittul to work on chametz, which you know about, basically pointed out that this issue should be heavily impacted by the nature of bittul. In that, in short, right, if you take the bittul midin hefker approach, right, if you take the hefker approach to bittul, so then it should seemingly be a davar pashut that bittul should work on even chametz yadua, because we know that hefker works on items which are yadua, right? If the whole model of bittul is hefker, since hefker ordinarily works on items which you know about, so then the carryover to bittul should also work on items that you know about, such as chametz yadua. That seems to be a davar pashut, and we'll see. There are no rishonim, as far as my knowledge, there are no rishonim who accept the hefker approach to bittul who say that bittul does not work on chametz yadua, which works out nicely. But then we pointed out, but within the approach of bittul medina afra da'ara, that bittul is all about the person's perspective towards the chametz, and that the person, right, the mechanism of bittul medina afra da'ara is that through the bittul, the person establishes that he really views the chametz as dirt, and that's all it is to him. So then it's an open question as to whether that mindset of afra da'ara is undermined in a situation of chametz yadua, where the person had the capacity to burn it, and yet he doesn't. And that's the question within the afra da'ara approach, which is, do you say that the fact that the person has the capacity, has the ability to actually burn the chametz and turn it into dirt, and the fact that the person doesn't opt for that, and rather opts for just bittul, so does that prove the fact that the person doesn't opt for the option of beer, does that take away from the seriousness, from the genuineness of his perspective of bittul midin afra da'ara? So that's the open question. And then we pointed out that if you look through the cases in the Gemara, while there is one case in Vavman Beis of bittul for chametz en yadua, most examples of bittul in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos, and the Braisios, are actually cases of chametz yadua, right? Whether it be the Talmud who remembers chametz in his house, or Memtes, the case where a person is going to do a mitzvah, then he remembers chametz in his house, or be, in the case of chimish gachas le batzai and bavam beis, where you find chametz, and then the Gemara suggests doing bittul. In all these cases, the Gemara seems to offer the option of bittul, even in cases which are yadua, which is going to pose a problem. Obviously, that works out very nicely for those rishonim who say that bittul works in chametz yadua. But for those rishonim who say that bittul does not work in chametz yadua, they're going to have to address all these gemaras and all these braisios/mishnayos, which seem to apply bittul in cases of chametz yadua. So that's the background we discussed yesterday. So now let's go to the lishonos of the rishonim themselves and see how they, what stands they take. So again, the first approach that we're going to see is the approach of, I would say, most mefarshim, most rishonim, which says that bittul works for chametz yadua, which again, based on the gemaras themselves, seems to be the simple pshat in many of the gemaras, since there are many gemaras and mishnayos which apply bittul in cases of chametz yadua. Obviously, the simple interpretation is to just take those gemaras and mishnayos kepashas to say, oh, you see from there that chametz does work on chametz yadua. But within this first approach, that bittul works on chametz yadua, we're going to find rishonim who say this within the hefker approach, which we point out as pashut, and then also rishonim who say this within the afra da'ara approach. So again, approach A, we call it, right, approach number one is that bittul works for chametz yadua. So we'll just say approach 1A are the rishonim, the following rishonim who say this within the hefker approach, which, as we pointed out before, is very misnabber, because it makes a lot of sense within the hefker approach to say that bittul works even by chametz yadua. So the first rishon, called approach 1A, who says that bittul works for chametz yadua within the hefker approach, is the Maran Chalava. Anybody have the Maran Chalava open? Can you open the kovitz? This is Vavam Beis, Dir Maschel Uli Zidi. I believe, in the Eitan's, kovitz, the regular kovitz, it's, Vavam Beis, I think it's like in the third, it's on the top of the third column. You see it starting with the words Elav Dechol Shabbata.
El the kol shabbat al tulo over aleh, fa'afil b'chametz anira ve'adua, even chametz that he knows about, Exactly. Gamrinim betalmin al yoshef ne rabo besamoch. The time of meshuvim tichsiv lecha kamo shechasav rabbeinu tam zal mitina midin hefker.
So that's the Maram Chalava, right, in accepting the hefker approach to bittul, says very clearly that bittul therefore is going to work even for chametz hanire v'hayadua. Right, and again, very much l'shita. So if you accept the hefker approach, it seems to be muchrach that just like hefker works for an item which is yadua, so too bittul is going to work for chametz yadua. So again, the first rishon within 1a is the Maram Chalava, who clearly adopts the hefker approach and clearly states that bittul works for chametz yadua. Fine. So far, so good. It seems to be very clear. The other rishon within the hefker approach who explicates, right, who states clearly that bittul works and chametz yadua, is the Ran. Right, if you turn to the Ran again in Daf Aleph Amud Aleph V'Daf Yarif, here it's V'dimur Maschu Umahu. This is right after the very important piece. Right after the Ran basically develops his shita regarding bittul, right, where he develops this idea that bittul works midin hefker, but he has a specific variation of bittul midin hefker in that. It's a bittul midin hefker, which prevents the Torah from placing it in the person's rishus. So right after, right to where we got up to, when we were reading that shita, he starts umahani. It's like three lines from the end of that piece, from Dior Maskel Shema Tomar, three lines up. It says mahani afilu. Do you see it here? Umahani afilu.
Yeah, umah.
Okay, so everyone have it. This is the Ran again, right after. What?
Where is it?
This is in Dibur Maschil Umahu Inyun Bittul. What type of tefillah? Do you have the Ozvahadar one?
You got it?
So right after he says that Bittul works Midin Hefker, like a variety of Hefker, he now explains, go for it, Nir.
Umahu Dapiyu Achamez Yidua Kedan Rinan B'Montzeg Lusha Vifiyah V'Date Alave. So it says that even in the case where you know about it, like we said in the first case that we learned about, which was
right. So now the Ran is going to bring a number of the rayos, a number of the cases that we mentioned before. He's going to say, oh, if you look at all the cases in the Gemara, there are a number of cases which seem to prove this point that bittul is going to work even for chametz yadua. So the first example was what the
pluski
yafeh, right? The Gemara suggested after you find it just to do bittul. Clear implication is that even though you found it, it's clearly yadua now. Right, bittul is going to work. That's raya number one. Raya number two.
Right. Right. Like a woman is has like almost leavened bread and like dough in his house that he didn't do anything with yet.
Exactly. Right. This is the example in Tav Zion where the Talmud who's in Shir and he realizes that he has a piece of chametz in his house. Again, he remembers a specific piece of chametz. Chametz is yadua, and yet the Braisa, I believe, suggests bittul. That's raya number two, and
Right,
the example, you're going to do a mitzvah and you remember you have a piece of chametz there where bittul suffices. So again, the Ran, again, within the general hefker approach, again, l'shitaso says that bittul is going to work for chametz yadua, which again, as we pointed out before, works very nicely. So now we're going to transition to approach 1b, which is to say that again, chametz, that bittul works in chametz yadua, even within the afra da'ar approach. So if you look at the Ramban, right, we know the Ramban is one of the big Rishonim who accepts the afra da'ar approach. And the Ramban, despite accepting the afra da'ar approach, I pointed out, right, despite accepting the afra da'ar approach, within which it's possible to say that a bittul would not work on chametz yadua, yet the Ramban, based on a lot of these rayas from the Gemara, basically establishes that bittul midin afra da'ara will work for chametz yadua. This is actually, if you go, this is the Ramban on Dalet Amud Beis. It's actually the first paragraph in that really, really long piece. So the first Dior Maschil Inyan bittul. Again, Ari, do you have it? Anyone else? Yeah, Zif, go for it. Right, it works even for chametz yadua, and even if the person sees it, and what it brings a number of these cases, right, as rayos, so basically the same rayos that the Ran brings. So again, so this is very important. Not only do we have the Maram Chalava and the Ran who adopt the shita of bittul working for chametz yadua within the hefker approach, where it's pashut, But now you start seeing Rishonim, such as the Ramban, right, adopting this perspective of bittul working chametz yadua, even within the afradar approach. And the idea is that they think that even though you had the option, even though you had the capacity or the potential to perform beer, right, we don't say that the fact that you didn't perform beer undermines the genuineness, you know, your authenticity of your bittul midin afradar. So again, the Ramban says, even though bittul is about afradara, and it's about requiring the person to really have a genuine perspective of afradara towards the chametz, the Ramban says that is even possible, even in the case of chametz yadua. Oh, and the next Rishon within this camp is the Rambam according to our Girsa. Now it's become very important. Whoever has a Rambam, it's become very important because there are two different Girsos of the Rambam. The Rambam, the Girsa that we have, which we'll do now, and then we'll get back to the Kesa Mishnah, the alternative Girsa. Anyone have a Rambam in front of them? Yoni, if you don't mind.
Sure. Is
this? Yeah, exactly. Rambam, Hachos Chametz Matzah, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. Alright, so what is the... And the Rambam here asks, according to our Girsa, he says, how do you accomplish the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu? What's the Rambam's single answer according to our Girsa? Exactly. So according to our Girsa, the Rambam basically says that the way to accomplish Tashbisu, seemingly, by implication, by all types of chametz, Bein Yadua, Bein Ein Yadua, right? The fact that according to our Girsa, he never differentiates. So the fact that the Rambam, according to our Girsa, says plainly that the way to accomplish Tashbisu, similarly for all types of chametz, is Bittul. So the implication, again, according to our Girsa of the Rambam, is that the Rambam, like the Ramban, says, even though Bittul works Midin Afradara, the Bittul Midin Afradara will even work for chametz Yadua. So again, that's all the important shitas. Again, so far, we've just quoted a number of the Rishonim who would say that bittul works for chametz yadua, and we've seen that these shitos, some of them are within the Hefker approach, and we even found some within the Afradar approach. Now, let's quickly transition to the second approach in the Rishonim, and this takes a little more analysis, which say that no, bittul only works for chametz, which is in a yadua, which a person does not know about. But bittul, according to the following Rishonim, will not be effective for chametz, which is yadua. So once we're within the Rambam, if you go to the Kesa of Mishnah, or the Kesa of Mishnah in Beis, right, starts off with an alternative girsa in the Rambam. Right, according to the Kesa of Mishnah has a different girsa in that Rambam. You want to go for it? So what is the Rambam? Rambam has two tracks according to this Girsa. Right, he asks the same question of how are you Mekayim Tashbisu? So the Rambam, according to this Girsa, says what? In the first half? Right, he says, if we're dealing with Chametz Yadua, so then what's the only way to Mekayim Tashbisu? Exactly, or burning it. Yeah. Exactly. According to this Girsa, when and only when is Bittul Shayach? Oh. The Rambam says, when is Bittul Shayach? Only for Chametz She'ina Yadua. That's according to this alternative Girsa in the Rambam, quoted by the Kesa Mishnah. The Kesa Mishnah, after quoting this Girsa, right, says pretty plainly, it says, it comes out of this Rambam, which according to the Kesa Mishnah is his Rambam, that Bittul Chametz does not work on Chametz Yadua. Seems very clear. And the way the Kesa Mishnah spells it out is that when the Torah has the mitzvah asay of Tashbisu, right, there are two ways to mimikayim, right? Tashbisu in the pasuk means two different things. What are the two things that it can mean? Mordechai?
Bittul or beer.
What? Exactly, bittul or beer. So who decided, according to the Kesa Mishnah, who decided exactly? And according to the Kesa Mishnah, it was Masr l'chachamim, was up to the, right, once the Torah's, you know, lashon of Tashbisu, according to this approach, can mean one of two things. Either means bittul or Tashbisu. Either bittul or beer. So according to the Kesa Mishnah, it was Masr l'chachamim, was in the hands of the Chachamim to decide when each track of Tashbisu is shayach, is applicable. So comes along the Chachamim and say, oh, the breakdown is as follows. when it's chametz yadua, when the person knows about the chametz, so then he should go and physically destroy it and burn it. But if it's in a yadua, but if he doesn't know about it, so then he could perform bittul. So says the Kesset Mishnah. Again, the lashon here is right. Umasru hakasav the chachamim. Right, the Torah basically put it in the hands of the chachamim. Sheyifreshu. They should explain hicha sagi bittul, hicha bai beer. When does bittul suffice, and when do you specifically require beer? The him pirshu and the chachamim came along and said the chametz yadua beaten in beer. Then when it comes to chametz yadua, you require specifically beer, and bittul will not work. But what's the obvious question the Kesset Mishnah now asks? Sorry. Yeah.
It's just on it. So this combines the subjective and objective approach.
What do you mean by that?
Because for chametz yadua, you only be chayav objectively, but for sheiz leiz yadua, I mean, but the way you deal with that is by a subjective relationship to afar.
Well, and even within the, and again, if you're a, if you think, if you're a bittul midin, sorry, if you're a bittul midin afar the hour person, like the Rambam, Kesset Mishnah, so you're obviously taking a subjective approach to Bayar Matzeh. But even in the subjective approach, if you active, if you objectively destroy it, that's also fine.
What? Well,
oh, you're saying mitzad that. You're saying it's ironic that you require. You're saying the implication of this girsa is that you. It's funny because Rambam himself says you do need idea. You're basically asking. It's strange that the bit if the Rambam who holds a bitul midin afar da aro clearly holds a subjective approach to Bayar Matzeh, also holds that you need bittul on chametz she'in yadua, implying that you're going to be over Bayar Matzeh, even if you don't know about it. That's a great question, especially in light of the, you can add to that is that the Rambam himself, we saw in the first sugya, seems to hold that yadia is a t'nai in Bayar Matzeh. So I have to think about that. That's a great question. That's a great question. Yeah.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it just be a preventive measure in case you discover the chametz on it?
Okay, but then you assume it's not deraisa.
What do you mean?
I mean, this, the submission seems like it's masul l'chachamim to define what the tashbisu is. Sounds like it's talking even on a deraisa level. According to you, it's just means rabbanan.
Well, yeah.
Maybe the answer to the obvious question is that the Rambam, according to the Rambam, chametz she'einu yadua is chametz that you knew about at one point, and then v'shachach.
Oh, so okay. Therefore, you're saying that you say any yadua now. Okay,
yeah.
That could be. Yeah, that could be. You hear? Interesting. Okay, I like that. Oh, so what's the question? Excellent question. What's the question the Kesset Mishnah asks himself, right? After the Kesset Mishnah develops that bittul doesn't work for chametz yadua, so what's the obvious question that the Kesset Mishnah is going to ask on himself based on all the Gemaras that we saw? Yaakov?
Meaning all this. I'm not talking about how much you're doing. I see how much you're doing. It seems to be difficult.
Exactly. So the Kesset Mishnah now asks the obvious question: how can this girsa of the Rambam limit bittul to chametz she'ina yadua if all the Gemaras, Daf Zayin, Vav Mabez, Mem Tes Amud Aleph, you can add to it Lamed Aleph Mabez, all these Gemaras apply bittul in cases of chametz yadua? So says the Kesset Mishnah, how will the Rambam, according to this girsa, explain all those Gemaras which apply bittul to cases of in cases of chametz yadua? So has the Kesset Mishnah answer?
By saying that all the cases are if there's like a prayer that there's like he has to bother to go do it, he's going to shatafaz that he's learning a base medrash, and if the chacham make it like kilo afshar, it becomes kind of like chametz yadua.
Okay, excellent. Right, to quote the lashon of the Kesset Mishnah, basically the chacham said that Him Danu Kohani, they right characterized all these cases. That Kivan Ditridi, since Biur is difficult in all these cases, right? The case where in Memtes, right, Holech Lishchot es Pischai, or right, you're or Lamalas Beno. In cases where you're on your way to do a mitzvah and it'll be difficult for you to go back to your house to perform Biur. Or in the case of Dav Zayin, you're in the middle of a shir, you're busy, you can't do Biur. Lamed Aleph and Beis, the case where it's under a pile of rubble, obviously very difficult to do beer, you can't access it. In all these cases, and again, You have to add the case, people were asking me in Seder, the case of Vovim Abayz, you'd have to assume that because in that case with Pashtus, you're finding the Chametz after Shas Isser, so therefore it could be that it's difficult to perform Biur because of that lag time that we discussed in the past, right? Biur is not an option in that case because it takes time to perform Biur, and you're gonna violate, according to many Rishonim, Biur by Matzah in that interim period, so therefore there too, it's difficult to perform Biur. So it says the Kesef Mishnah, since in all those cases, Biur is difficult, so therefore all those cases, even though technically it's Chametz Yadua, the Chamim treated those cases as if it's Chametz She'ena Yadua. So again, even though technically it's Yadua, because it's difficult to perform Biur in those cases, so they're placed in the category of Eina Yadua, where Bittul is going to work. But the obvious question you have to just ask in the Kesef Mishnah is like, what does that mean? Meaning, if Bittul is limited to Chametz She'ena Yadua, so then these cases which are Chametz Yadua, who cares about the fact that Biur is difficult? In the end of the day, it's Chametz Yadua, regarding which Bittul doesn't work according to this Gersa. So what's this idea, according to the Kesef Mishnah, that the factor of Tridi, that the factor that it's difficult to perform Biur in these cases, that somehow that gets taken into account. What's the idea? Yeah?
It's not like you're sitting back and like not doing Biur. It's like, since you can't do Biur and you're still doing the position, then you can do Bittul, but it's not like you're not showing a lack of your hatred towards Chametz by not doing Biur.
Excellent. So exactly like Yoni just said, the explanation of the Kesef Mishnah gets back to the whole Yusod that we developed earlier in terms of why would it be, according to these Rishonim, that Bittul wouldn't work on Chametz Yadua. There's no Gzeres HaKosov that Bittul doesn't work for Chametz Yadua. The idea, as we developed before, is that the fact that Chametz is Yadua, and you have the capacity, you have the ability to do Biur, and yet you don't, so that's a Chisaron in the authenticity, in the genuineness of your Bittul. Do you really view the Chametz as Afra D'Ara? If you really did, why didn't you just destroy it? But once that's the Koveya, again, it's not a Dinin Yadua versus the Eini Yadua, it's really, the Koveya really is whether you're serious about your Bittul, so exactly like Zoni just said. So therefore, if you have a case of Chametz Yadua, where the circumstances dictate that it's difficult or potentially impossible to perform Biur, so then the fact that you know about it doesn't matter. As long as it's difficult or impossible to perform Biur, so then the fact that you're doing Bittul in such a case is a valid, genuine Bittul, because you're doing what you can. All you can do in this circumstance is to be Mevatil Midin Afra Da'ara. So in short, while the category that Rishonim were all talking about is Yadua or Eina Yadua, really the Koveya is whether your lack of Bittul is your lack of Biur is a Chisaron in the genuineness of your Bittul. And therefore, in a case where even though it's Yadua, as long as it's difficult or impossible to perform Biur, so you no longer have a Chisaron in the genuineness and in the authenticity of your Biur. And that's the simple pshat in the Kesef Mishnah. But again, it's very important to note, the Kesef Mishnah, who's working within the Rambam, who holds of Bittul Midin Afradar. I guess we're pointing out this whole Yisod, the whole notion of saying that Bittul is not going to work on Chametz Yadua, only makes sense within the Bittul Midin Afradar approach, which works out very nicely because the Kesef Mishnah, who has this Girsa in the Rambam, and the Rambam is a Bittul Midin Afradar person. So that works out well. Is that him? Okay. Now the last, the other Mefarish, other than the Kesef Mishnah in the Rambam, the other Mefarish who adopts this perspective that Bittul does not work for Chametz Yadua is Rabbeinu Menoach. Right. So again, if you turn to the other side of the Mekoros sheet, I mean the Chelek Aleph, right, the last of the Mekoros, printed Mekoros here, is the Rabbeinu Menoach. And we're going to pay careful attention. And again, pay careful attention. The Rabbeinu Menoach is one of the Mefarshim who adopt Bittul Midin Afradara. So again, the fact that he too is going to limit Bittul to Chametz and Yadua is going to be understandable because he's working within the Afradara approach. So again, we're going to pay careful attention to how Rabbeinu Menoach formulates the exception. Everyone see, Jonathan, do you have it? You have the source sheet? See the bottom, Rabbeinu Menoach?
Yeah.
All right, it's very important. Rabbeinu Manoach, he doesn't just use the terminology of Yadua and Ina Yadua. Right? How does he describe, at the end, Yonatan, how does he describe the case where Bittul is not going to work? Right, B'chametz HaYadua Lo, V'Yachol
HaVayro.
Exactly, right? Exactly along the lines that we said before. Right? The only way to explain this Shita is that, right, is that in the case of Yadua, where it's possible to do beer, so in that case, the fact that you didn't do beer is a chisaron in your bittel. And again, that's really the only way to explain it, misvara, and also the only way to account for all the rayos in the Gemara, where the Gemara clearly applies bittel to cases of chametz yadua. So the way Rabbeinu Manoach is going to solve all those problems is that, yeah, the limitation isn't chametz yadua, it's only chametz yadua, shiach levaro. And therefore, all those cases that we quoted before, Velen Vez, Zayin Amar Aleph, Laman Aleph and Vez, and Mem Tessa Man Aleph, all those cases, the reason why Bittul works, even though it's Chametz Yadua, because in those cases, it's Einu Yachol Levaro, and therefore, in that case, your Bittul, Midin Afer Da'ara, is completely genuine, and therefore, it's going to work. Yeah?
How do we define Yachol according to Rabbeinu Manoach? Meaning, if the guy's in Shir and he lives next door, like, is it a physical Yachol, like the case of the Mapolas, where he physically can't get the money?
Yeah, it's hard to define exactly. It seems like in the case of Dav Zayin, where it's Hayyoshe Beis HaMedrash, it sounds like you don't have the ability to, you know, go back to your house quickly and to be able to still listen, still hear the shir. Also the chashivas of shir, you know. Ditch the shir. No, but obviously, you know, in this case, it's parallel to Mentas Emanalev, where it's, you know, EF Shalakayim Shnayim. If you can't do the mitzvah and do beer, so that's considered EF Shar. So again, it sounds like as long as you can't, you know, catch the shear and do beer, that's in Yachol. If it's right next door and you, you know, can do both, then that wouldn't be. That's what it seems like. Okay, any questions on this Chametz Yadua part? Okay, good. I think it was pretty simple. Okay, so now moving on to Chelek Beis. Our next topic is going to be the big issue, which is whether a person could do Chazara on their Bittul. Right, after a person performs bittul, can a person, through his actions or through his intentions, undermine the bittul? And we're going to see, like most things in the sugya, it directly depends on the different approaches about whether bittul is midin hefker or whether it's midin afer da'ara. And we'll just first spell out the general analysis, then we'll get through the shittos right away. So in general, if you think that bittul works midin hefker, since you think it, you, is it possible to undermine it?
Of course.
Exactly. Right? If the whole pshat in bittul is that you're mafker the item, so then, just like when it comes to hefker, right, if you are mafker an item, and you say to yourself, before anyone else is konet, wait a second, I want that item back, what can you do? Just simply reacquire it. So just like when it, that, just like a maisa hefker can be easily reversed, but after the Maisa Hefker, the person just is kone the item back. So too, if you think that Bittul works midin Hefker, so we're going to see according to number of Mepharshim, and the Rishonim who adopt the Bittul midin Hefker approach are going to say, Bittul is easily reversible, because as long as you reacquire the Chametz after the Bittul midin Hefker, Memela, you just reversed the whole impact of the Bittul. But we're going to see, so again, we're going to see that with anyone who accepts the Hefker approach is basically going to say that it's a Deber Pashit, that it's reversible. Yeah.
Why would you want to reverse it?
We're just talking about in Metzius where the person just does. We'll see cases now. I mean, it's not a good thing that he wants to reverse the Bittul. It's like a bad thing.
After Pesach.
What?
After Pesach.
No, we're talking about even on Pesach. Yeah, is even before Pesach or on Pesach itself? We'll see circumstances where, again, a lot of times, most of these cases are Shalok Adin, where he's acting inappropriately. And the question is, well, the fact that he's no longer, you know, now that he wants the Chametz, do you say, oh, my Dehava Havi, you already was Mevatel done? Or no, once he now wants the Chametz, he's going to undermine the Heter of Bittul, and he's going to be in trouble. We'll get to cases in just a moment. But, parallel to, like, you know, the Chametz Yadua, you know, nafkamina, litmus test, where it was pashit within the hefker approach, but it was an open question within the afer da'ar approach, we're going to say the same thing here. We're going to see, but within the afer da'ar approach, we're going to see that the rishonim within the afer da'ar approach are going to come down on two sides of the ledger. Some are going to say that, afer da'ara is reversible, because of the whole point of afer da'ara is relating to it as afer, but once you no longer relate to it as afer, you can undermine that. While the other group are going to say, no, once you transform the chametz into afer, it's too late. We'll get back to that. So again, just the general analysis that if you hold bittel midin hefker, bittel is easily reversible, because you just reacquire it, you just make a new kinyan on it. But if you hold that bittel is midin afer da'ara, so then it's an open question. We're going to see a machokis rishonim within the afer da'ara approach about whether bittel is reversible and under what circumstances. Okay, so now let's go through the rishonim. First, we'll start with the hefker approach. We're actually making good time here. Okay, so within the hefker approach, we're going to see the following three. We're going to see the Ramban, the Ram Chalava, and the Rabbeinu Menach, who are all going to say, in line with our analysis, that bittel midin hefker is easily reversible. So again, let's see the Ramban. The Ramban is by implication. Everyone can turn to the Ramban on Dalet Amud Beis. This is Dibra. This is the end of Dibra Hamaskla Elakach Ani Omer. So that, right in this paragraph, Elakach Ani Omer, which we read previously, this is where the Ramban adopts Afer Da'ara. Right? His take on Afer Da'ara, that Bittel's about Afer Da'ara, which then prevents the Torah from placing it in his Rishus. But at the end of this paragraph, the Ramban has a very crucial line. And he says, the reason why the approach, he's about to say that this Afer Da'ara approach, which I am adopting, that is better than the Hefker approach, which I'm rejecting. Right? And they, at the last line in that paragraph, starting with the Hacha Adif Nami, anyone have it? Abi, do you have it?
Yeah.
You see the Hacha Adif Nami? Right, this approach of Afer Da'ara is better than Hefker. Why? So what is that? Again, this is going to have implications both for the Afer Da'ara approach and for the Hefker approach. Yeah, so how do you understand that? He says, Afer Da'ara is better than Hefker, because by Afer Da'ara, right, lo hadar ihu zachi be. What does that mean? Okay, we'll get back to that. It's either he can't or he won't. We'll get back to that. Why can't or why won't he? Right, he made it into afar, and he doesn't want it. Right, we'll get back to the implications for afar now. Right now we're dealing with the hefker approach. What's the implication by hefker? Right, he's saying that afar da'ara isn't reversible or won't be reversible. Exactly. So again, by implication, the Ramban here seems to clearly be saying that while Afer Da'ara isn't reversible, the clear implication is that Hefker is reversible. And therefore he's saying, right, my pshat of Afer Da'ara is better than the alternative, because the alternative of Bittel Midin Hefker is easily reversible. And the Ramban obviously is uncomfortable with a Bittel which is easily reversible. So again, the first Rishon who's saying that within the Hefker approach, Bittel is reversible, is this Ramban, again, by implication. Right? The Diuk is, by saying that Afer Da'ara isn't easily reversible, the clear implication is that Hefker is easily reversible, which the Ramban has a problem with. Yeah, John.
I'm sorry. There's something wrong with the Ramban that says that was so when he was arguing with Rashi.
Remember that?
They're saying that since the Ramban's adopting Afer, you can't reverse it, yeah?
The Ramban says that that bittel midin afer da'ara, either, I'm leaving a little vague because we'll get back to it, either can't be reversed or will not be reversed. Implication being that hefker, that bittel midin hefker, can be reversed / will be reversed.
So doesn't he say when he was attacking the Rashi that to allow that you could, that there was a way to reverse it, that he, that if you Rashi,
you thinking of the Ram Chalava maybe?
It wasn't a Ramban?
Show me the line. I don't recall. Show it to me and we'll discuss. Okay, right. So the first Rishon within the Hefker approach, which implies that Hefker, that Bittul means that Hefker is easily reversible, is the Ramban. Fine. So now we're going to get to the Maram Chalava. There are two very important Maram Chalavas. If everyone can turn to Maram Chalava, Vavam and Beis, starting Dibur Masko Ula Didi. This is the first one is a fascinating piece. Where the Maram Chalava is going to basically bring a raya. Ironically, is going to bring a raya. Remember, Maram Chalava adopts the Hefker approach. He's going to say that the fact that chametz, even chametz which was batel, is aser b'hana on Pesach. That proves that the reason. We'll see this inside, right? Hanacha number one. Right? Maram Chalava says that the Isra Hanah of Chametz on Pesach even applies to Chametz with Batel. Hanacha number one, we'll see that's not so pashut, right? He says, once that's the case, once Chametz, which is Batel, is Asr Ba'anah, says Maram Chalava, that only makes sense if Bittel works Midin Hefker, whereby the reason why that chametz, which is batel, is aser b'hana, is because by getting hana, by attempting to get hana out of the chametz, you're in essence reversing the bittel. So says Maram Chalava, we'll read in just a moment, the fact that chametz is aser b'hana, even post-bittel, that proves that that the bittel must be reversible. Because the only way to explain why the chametz is aser ba'ana is because by getting hana, you're in essence reversing the bittel, and that only applies to the bittel of hefker, which is reversible. So we'll read inside to be even clearer. So again, it's clearly coming out of this Maram Chalava that bittel midin hefker is reversible, and that's how he explains this Isra hana. Let's just read this inside because it's a whole with a little bit of a cheshbon, and by breaking down line by line, a little easier. So do you have the Maram Chalava? Is Dibur Masko B'Hagah Ba'al? Sorry, Dibur Masko Ula Didi. Start. Yeah, B'Hagah Ba'al. Exactly. B'Hagah Atzmacha. Sorry, B'Hagah Atzmacha is about saying, I'm about to prove that my pshat of Bittul Midin Hefker is right. What's the raya? Right. She's saying, if you were to adopt the alternative of Afra Da'ara, so then what would that mean? The Afra Da'ara, the Bittul, would basically transform the Chametz into Afar. And he's saying, and once you did that Bittul, so there's no violation anymore. Or is it before the Bishlama? So, yeah, right. And if you accepted the Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara, so what would the din be about chametz, which is batel on Pesach? It should be much about enough, because all it is dirt. Okay, that's a big line we'll get back to later, but he says, I'm only saying that within the Afra Da'ara there would be mutzer b'hana. I'm not going so far to say that it's mutzer b'achila. Why? Why wouldn't I go so far to say that it's mutzer b'achila? Because once I eat it, ashrei, right? This is the famous concept of ashrei, which we'll get back to, which basically says that when you eat the dirt, since people don't eat dirt, the fact that you're eating the dirt proves that you no longer are viewing it as dirt, but you rather are viewing it as ochel, as chametz. So says Maram Chalava, even the afer, the ara approach of bittul would be undermined by an achila, because the achila would trigger the din, it's called achshave, which would be machshiv, the afar, but the fact that you're eating it shows that you don't really view it as afar, you rather view it as chametz. But, right, but when it comes to hana, the hana would be mutter. Before that, so what is he saying? But if you don't eat it, and you're just getting hana out of it, so then you don't have the achshave, right? You have to add, there's no achshave because it's possible to derive hana from dirt, right? You can use dirt to fill a hole. You can use dirt to cover something, right? Since dirt is nitan lahana, The fact that you're doing a maisa hana, the fact that you're getting hana from dirt, doesn't trigger the din of achshve, doesn't, you know, reverse the bittel. And therefore, since there's no reversal, right, lahavinami ka'afra, all you're doing is you're getting hana from afar. And afro mi asr bahana, and pesach, there's no isr hana of dirt. Right? So says the Ramchal, against, just pay attention to the stages. He basically says, if you accept the afra da'ara approach, so then chametz, which is batel, should be mutter bahana. Because you're allowed to get hana from dirt, and once the bittel transformed the chametz into dirt, you're in essence just being nehenet from dirt, which should be mutter. But the Maram Chalava says, this doesn't work, because we know, says the Maram Chalava, that chametz is asr ba'ana even post-bittel. So Maram Chalava says, this whole thing doesn't work. Right? In short, once you assume that chametz is asr ba'ana post-bittel, and you assume that within the afra, the ar approach, then the chametz should be mutter ba'ana post-bittel, so then you have a problem. Oh, so one more line before it transitions back to Hefker. Right, in that line, it's a little bit of a strange line, but I think he's basically saying, and right, and don't say that the bittul midin afra da'ara, right, only worked l'inyan by Rabbi Matzeh, but didn't work l'inyan the isra hana, and therefore, right, the one way to, you know, negate his analysis is by saying, oh, maybe it's only afra da'ara l'inyan by Rabbi Matzeh, but not l'inyan isra hana. And that would be a way of saying, oh, the reason why it's asr ba'ana even within the afra da'ara approach is because the bittul midin afra da'ara is limited to bayar bay matzeh. But he says that doesn't make sense, because bayar bay matzeh, in a sense, is like more chamor than isr hana. So bittul midin afra da'ara, if the bittul turns it into afar, into dirt, le'inin bayar bay matzeh, then surely it should transform it into afar also for the isr hana, and therefore there should be no isr hana. In short, right, for the Maram Chalava, the analysis is as follows, the cheshbon is as follows. If bittul is midin afra da'ara, so then it'll be mutter to get hana from the chametz, which is batel, because in essence it's just simply being nana from dirt, which should be mutter. But that's a problem for the Maram Chalava, because the Maram Chalava assumes that it should be usher to get hana from chametz, which is batel. So how is he going to explain the isser hana for chametz, which is batel? He says, but all is well if you accept his approach of hefker. Go for it. Says Maram Chalava, why is there an Isser Hana according to Hefker approach? Kol ma sheneh nebo hare chazer uzacha. Renect, right? Exactly. Right? So, says the Maram Chalava, which is also Bichidish, which is to say that if you were mafkir the item, he says, just like, right, you can reverse a maisa hefker, as we were discussing, he says, so too, if you try to be nana from chametz, which you were mafkir, that attempt to be nana from the item is in essence, right, implicitly, you're basically saying, I want to renege on my bittul midin hefker. In essence, the Maram Chalava is assuming that by deriving benefit from the item, I am implicitly saying that I want to be kona the item back from hefker, and thereby be nana from it. Which is an assumption, as Yaakov was asking, you know, in Seder. Right? It seems like the Maram Chalava assumes that it would be usher to get hana from the item as long as it belongs to hefker. And therefore, if I'm attempting to be nana from it, in essence, implicit in that, you know, in that desire to be nana from it is the fact that I want to be zoche in it to therefore be nana from it. So in short, the Maram Chalava says, the way to explain, the way to justify the Isser Hana on chametz, which is batel, is by adopting the bittul midin hefker approach, as if to say, the reason why there would be an Isser Hana is because by being nana from it, in essence, you are undermining, you are reversing the bittul midin hefker. So what's clear, and I'll take your question in just a moment, what's coming out of this Maram Chalava for our purposes, is Maram Chalava is clearly saying that bittul midin hefker is reversible. And the example which triggers that pre, you know, that undermining, that reverse, according to Maharal Rambam, is a Ma'aseh Hana. Once your attempt to be Nana from the Chametz, so that attempt of Hana directly reverses the Ma'aseh Hefker. Yeah. This is just a raya. I mean, the fact that Hefker is reversible, that applies before or after Shas Isser. He's just saying the raya that Bittel is Midin Hefker is the fact that there's an Isser Hana on Pesach. Yeah, but you know, the dinam of reversibility, that would apply, you know, bein la'achras mano, bein lifnei mano. Yes, Levi.
Is Hana a kinyan in, like, generally in Hefker, or just specifically in Bittel?
That's a great question. According to Maram Chalava, he would seemingly need to say always. Right, because there's nothing about Bittel, meaning something about chametz per se, which would make it different than other items. Again, you're right.
That
opens
up a lot of problems.
What?
And that opens up a lot of problems.
Why?
Generally in halacha.
Yeah?
Just thinking of half bread.
What do you say?
Just thinking of.
Meaning, if you have any specific questions, that, you know. Yeah. But yeah, again, it's a big assumption. Again, Maram Chalava seems to be, again, I sort of said it quickly before. But the Ram Chalava seems to be assuming. I think your basic question is, wait a second, why can't you be Nana from Hefker as Hefker? Why does your Hana prove that you want to be Zoche from Hefker? Right? So I think what Roshan explained before, I think there's a big assumption. It could be that Ram Chalava assumes that it's usher to get Hana from a Dvar Hefker. Like getting into the lumdus of a Hefker, big ones in Hefker, is Hefker ownerless, or does it belong to everybody? So again, there's a lot of assumptions here, but if you assume that it belongs to everybody, so then it could be that you have no rights to get Hana from something which belongs to the Klal. So it could be, if you assume that that an item which is Hefker belongs to everyone, it could be, yeah, you have no right, therefore, to derive Hana from something which the Klal owns. So therefore, the fact that you're attempting to get Hana from it, implicit in that attempt to get Hana from it is that, oh, you first want to be Kona it back, which will thereby be Matir, your Hana. That's, again, that's all my speculation. It doesn't really explain much, but yeah.
And that's what we're saying now, that is with their Rabbi Amanoff understands Hefker, that it's just based on the Rishonim.
Well, we'll get Rabbi Amanoff. Yeah, we'll see. Each of these Rishonim who say that Hefker is reversible say it in a slightly different way, which it's important to be omen on that. But yeah. Sorry, was it?
You have explained this?
What?
You might have explained this earlier. I'm sorry, but in the Maram Chalava, you only violate the Chalavis that's basically that you only get that Gein Hana from owner's Chalavis.
Sit here. You
didn't violate Gein Hana from owner's Chalavis at all. Hypothetically, if there was a way to get Hana.
Correct, yeah. You don't violate. Oh, sit here. You're saying this, an assumption of the Maram Chalava is that the Isser Hana only applies. You're saying, why not have an Isser Hana on Chametz Shel Hefker? You're saying, because in that case, you could say, I mean, why does Maram Chalava have to specifically focus on the undermining of the Bittel to justify the Isser Hana? Just say. Good question. It's a great question. You're saying it's a chafs of chametz. You're saying bishlama by Rabbi Motze, you only violate when you own it. But the Isser Hana should be any time as a chafs of chametz. That's a good question. Unless you say chametz of what? Yeah. Unless it's a bichidish that it's a chametz shal. Oh, this reminds me. Oh, beginning of the second paragraph, Tzvi and Sander. Isn't it like a sugya of chametz shal hefker, like a behemoth shal hefker? It's just triggers. Is there a tzad to say that there won't?
Right.
That even. is a
problem because.
Okay, yeah, we're trying to say the opposite.
Right, we're trying to say that.
Yeah, the question is there any. Is it worse, right?
It makes it worse.
Okay. It's just once I heard Chamash al Hefker, I'm like, wait a second, second parak? But again, it does. Okay. So we have an assumption of the Maram Chalav. Again, that was for the second parak people. But in short, obviously, a great aura, which it seems to be emerging from the Maram Chalav, is that the Chamash al Hefker is mukta from the Isra Hanah of Chametz.
Which is what?
Is excluded from the Isra Hanah of Chametz, which is strange. I have to think about that. That's a great question. Ephraim?
Could you explain the line of the Miyada?
Miyada? I think. Sorry, which. Yeah, I think he's just saying. I think he's precluding like a possible, you know, deflection. Possible deflection of the Shita would be to say. That no, the reason why, you know, that even the reason why chametz is aser b'hana post-bittel, even within the after the hour approach, right? The reason why chametz is aser b'hana even within post-bittel, even within the after the hour approach, maybe because the bittel midin after the hour only applies l'inyan b'ara b'matzeh. We're going to see this concept of bitum and din after the hour applying for certain dinam and not other dinam. So it could be that, says Maram Chalav, oh, and if you're going to tell me that maybe bitum and din after the hour is limited to the realm of Baal Rabbi Matzeh, maybe because that's subjective, you can add, but it wouldn't apply to the realm of Isra HaNah, maybe because it's more objective. And therefore, that would deflect the whole raya, because no, maybe it doesn't mean Isra HaNah for Chametz post bitul even with the after the hour. Because bittul midin after the hour doesn't affect the Isra Hanah. Kamash Malan, don't tell me that because, oh, if bittul midin after the hour is going to neutralize Bar by Matzeh, that, oh, is the Isra Hanah adif? Is it more chamor that it's going to be, you know, mufka from that? I think that's what he's saying. There's a lot in that line, but I think that's what he's saying. Yeah.
His whole idea hinges upon the fact that he holds that Chomet says, no, not even about that, it is an Israel.
Yeah.
So that means Chomet still has to be an Israel, because from him, Bittul is a separate.
No, but the only reason why he justifies it is because you're re Kohen. That's the deal. Which is a very good. And I think Avi's just saying, just forget the reacquisition. Just say, it's Chomet, it's still Chomet Shel Hefker. It's still Chomet. The fact that he has to go out of his way to say, oh, the reason why it's a problem is because you're Koneh again, mashma, that otherwise, if it was still Chametz Shel Hefker, it would not be a problem. I think it's a great ha'ara. It's a big chiddush coming out of. Okay. The other Maram Chalava, which is important, which is worth seeing, is, again, this first Maram Chalava is very clear. Again, it's a whole cheshbon. It's a fascinating cheshbon. But again, it's very clear that the Maram Chalava holds that the hefker, that bittul midin hefker, is reversible. That's the whole assumption of that piece. Another piece, another time that the Maram Chalava Lashitaso says that bittul midin hefker is reversible is in Diru Maschel Ella Amar. Right, this is when he's rejecting Shitas Rashi about Daita Ilaveh. So the Maram Chalava's, I might have lost the place. He has a second question where he says. Anyone see in Dir Maschel Ella Amar? All right, first he quotes Rashi, and then he says Debinosein Daito Aleha. Anyone see that? He quotes Rashi, and then he has three questions on him. And then Ram Chalava, I believe it's the second question. Let's see if we can find it here. Yeah, you see like Va'od Debinosein Daito Aleh? You see it, Chazki?
Yeah.
Go for it.
So
remember the Shitas Rashi. Remember the Shitas Rashi is that the Pshat in Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafa Vedaite Lave is that he's going to find the Chametz and then he's going to have Das on it. And remember the Cheshmer of the Gemara is that the way to solve that Chashash is by having a Bittul originally, right? Remember Habotik Tzarek Shivato. Why do you need that Bittul originally to neutralize this Chashash of Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafa Vedaite Lave? So says Maram Chalava, even the Rashi, the whole cheshbon of the sugya says that whatever the issue, whatever the chashash of Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafa is, that has to be neutralized by a previous bittul, because that's the whole point. So now the question is, however you explain Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafa Vidaita Leve, is bittul really going to neutralize that problem? Oh. So says Maram Chalava, Right. Rav Chava thinks that according to Rashi's explanation, Bittul is not going to solve the problem. Why? The Ode.
He thinks about a filo bittel, even if it's already bittel, over the chaser zachlo. It's going to be over because it's in his chater.
Because meaning, right? Says the Maram Chalaba, Rashi, if pshat in daita ilavei, of Rashi Yimsuk Lutzko Yafe, vidaita ilavei, if pshat in daita ilavei is that right now the person is going to have das on the chametz, is going to want the chametz. So then, says Maram Chalaba, so then the fact that you performed bittel originally is not going to solve that. Because Maram Chalaba says, even if you performed bittel originally, if right now you have das on the chametz, what does that do? That reverses the bittel. Maram Chalaba l'shitoso. Maram Chalaba says, right, if the daiti lavei is that right now he has das, so then because I, the Maram Chalaba, say that bittel's midin hefker, so then what's going to happen is that my current das is going to undermine my original bittel midin hefker by reacquiring it. Says Maram Chalav again, to benosin daito alei, if I currently have das on it, then afilu bittel, even if I originally did bittel right after my bedika, over you're going to violate the chatzero zachsalo. Because once you have positive das to reacquire it, so once you have positive das, daito alei assumes the Maram Chalav, that's going to trigger a kinyan chatzer, which thereby undermines the bittel. So again, Maram Chalava l'shitaso in these different contexts, again, both cheshbonos, but clear in both contexts, the Maram Chalava says, because I hold that bittel works midin hefker, so therefore, it's going to be easily reversed, easily undermined by a later form of das. Yeah?
Doesn't it make his kasha and Rashi really sure if Rashi's being stubborn out of it?
You're saying why doesn't he realize that Rashi is impervious to the question because Rashi disagrees?
Yeah,
sometimes you find that Rishonim like will ask. I guess we'll say like, oh, I already rejected that part of Rashi, so like, you know. But you're right. It's meaning Rashi obviously doesn't agree with his analysis earlier. Yeah. Sometimes that happens that Rishonim will ask like Lashitas some, even though the person they're asking on.
Right.
Yeah, so it's hard to know. Yeah. It's as if like he's so convinced of that Bittel works midin hefker that like he just goes with it. But you're right. Unless he's not necessarily asking on Shita's Rashi as much as he's asking, he's saying he's disproving Rashi's Pshat and Daiti Lavei. Meaning, he's saying separate the different aspects of the Rashi. Right? The main part of Rashi is that Daiti Lavei is right now. And perhaps he's just rejecting that part and saying, I can't accept Rashi's Pshat and Daiti Lavei as being current das because then Lishita Si, you know, the current das will undermine the bittel. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not necessarily looking to slug up Rashi as much as he's trying to figure out what's Pshat Daiti Lavei.
Yeah.
And therefore, he's really working within his own Shita.
Yeah.
That's probably more pashtus. Yes, you.
If we see from the second Maram Chalaba that we saw that all I need in order to be quoted as something or the trigger a case coming from the stuff is das, why do we need to speak anything about Hanno on relevant base?
I think there's just different situations, different triggers.
If we're saying that the Hanno is working all the das, so before.
Well, there, that's how it manifests. I mean, they were trying to justify the Isra Hanno. The point is, any time you're nana, that triggers a reacquisition. Here,
but if it's based on das, then why would there be any chil between achila and any other type of hana?
Well, he's only machal between achila and other types of hana within the afid our approach, because of the factor of achshavei. In terms of just reversing the, in terms of triggering a reacquisition, a kinyan chatzer, all you need to have is das in this case, or hana in that case. The only time it's mechalik between achila and hana was in the apred ara, because that was an inyan of achshel. That was something else. In short, the Maram Chalava holds any time you like have positive feelings towards the chametz, whether it be as manifested through a maisa hana or a daiti lave, that's going to trigger a kinyan chatzer. Really quickly, let's just finish the last makor within within bittel midin hefker, which proves that it's reversible, and that is the Rabbeinu Manoach that you were talking about. If you go back to the Rabbeinu Manoach, again, the Rabbeinu Manoach is packed here. Again, the Rabbeinu Manoach is the first makor on the second sheet of the Makoros, Chelek Beis, and he has a very important line where he basically, this is where the same Rabbeinu Menachem adopts the Afra Da'ar approach, explains why he rejects the Hefker approach. And he rejects the Hefker approach exactly because of this Nikuta, because the Hefker is easily reversible. Binyamin, would you mind reading the second line? He says, Ube Hefker Lo Sagya. What Lo Sagya? Ube Hefker Lo
Sagya.
Stop there. What is he saying? He's saying the reason why I'm accepting Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara is because what's the fault? What's the problem with Bittul Midin Hefker?
It won't help you.
Why?
Just
exactly. So Rabbeinu Menach here clearly assumes that Bittul Midin Hefker is easily reversible. But Rabbeinu Menach, I think this is what Ziv was referencing earlier, has a little wrinkle, which is different, where he goes further than all the other Mefarshim so far, you know, the Ramban or Mimar Chalav, are all saying that the way you're going to reverse a Bittul Midin Hefker is if you have some type of Das, which triggers a Kinyan Chatzar, which triggers or some type of a Kinyan. Rabbeinu Menach goes further to say that, and it's hard to know why, where he says, there's a Kinyan, it's more of a Kinyan Chatzar, you know, discussion, where he says, if Bittul is only working with Din Hefker, so then as long as the item is in your Chatzar, you're going to have a Kinyan Chatzar, even Bal Korchach, and therefore it's going to be, like, basically undermined right after your Mafker, and then your Chatzar is going to be Koner right back, so as if there's no Chalos at all. So again, Rabbeinu Menach is similar to Ram Chalaba and the Ramban in terms of the overall analysis, in terms of you know, agreeing that a Bittul Midin Hefker is reversible. Rabbeinu Menach happens to go, you know, happens to be more extreme in the sense that he thinks that the Hefker will be reversed by a Kinyan Chatzer, even Bal Korchach, even against Jua. So again, next time we'll pick up, actually I think tomorrow night, we'll pick up with the Rishonim within the Afra Da'ar approach in terms of the Machokas within the Afra Da'ar approach, but whether even the Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara is reversible or not. We'll stop here.